When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. Well, everyone, welcome to a new series here on the Behind the Glass podcast. A new iteration, would you like? Of the Rate My Ride episodes.
Is it a new series? You've done this before.
Oh, actually, we have done this before, you're right, but we're introducing it as a regular format.
All right, so how about Back by Popular Demand?
Ha-ha, look at that. You're getting good at this, aren't you?
Brilliant at it.
Back by Popular Demand, you find Tony and I sitting in a car. Rather than being in a studio or in your showroom, we are in a car, and we are here to rate someone's ride.
And this is not any old car, by the way. This is a proper car.
Yes, because as you would have guessed from the title, we are in a Ferrari SF90 Stradale. You know what blows my mind more than the fact that we're sitting in an SF90 is that one of our listeners owns an SF90.
I
thought you all had like Peugeots and Fiestas.
Well, they have a bit of both, mate. I mean, you can't believe the variety of our followers.
No, I know.
It's incredible. I'm joking.
I was winding them up or attempting to wind them up.
Yeah.
Because I know, based on a lot of our live events, what incredible cars some of them have.
Absolutely.
And yes, we're gonna shout out the Instagram handle, always turn left, absolute legend, for giving us the keys to his SF90 Stradale Assetto Fiorano.
And it's a beautiful car, this car, by the way.
It's a beautiful car. So it is, well, actually, I should have got the paint colour. I'm guessing, is this a Rosso Fuoco?
I don't think it's, is it Mars? Is it
Rosso Mars? I think you might be right. It's a darker red. For those of you listening, it's a deep, dark shade of red that on today's, well, overcast British weather actually still looks amazing.
It does.
I can imagine in the sunshine it would look insane, but yeah, it's a very overcast, gloomy day, but it still looks awesome. And then it's got the Assetto Fiorano silver sort of stripe that goes over the top of the car to the rear. Oh, sorry, I'm just adjusting my
I thought
mirror.
You were trying to strike.
No, no.
What are you doing?
Adjusting my mirror. We literally picked this car up 5 minutes ago. Weirdly, it's been living at the Schmuseum.
Yeah.
So that was a nice coincidence, I suppose. So we went to collect it from the Schmuseum, currently parked very unglamorously on a BP petrol forecourt at the services.
Well, I had to go away.
Yeah. I didn't know if we were going to reveal that, but
yeah, it's
all thanks for the information, Tony. So yeah, it's really not the kind of place you would expect to kickstart, I guess, in inverted quotes, review of an SF90 Stradale, but look, this is a real world example, isn't it?
We're here.
That's what we're going to do with this new version of Rate My Ride. We want you to get in touch and suggest cars for Tony and I to take for a drive and chat about, because I was winding you up at the beginning. I know so many of you have some amazing cars, some really interesting cars, some quirky cars, cars that we haven't driven, cars that we have, cars that you think we should drive again. And so, yeah, we just thought it'd be a fun thing to do, wouldn't it?
But I really, really want to drive some proper piles of poo, mate.
Yes, you want to drive crap.
Perhaps we should use your CS for one.
I walk straight into that. So, moving forward, we will let you know when we are going to be filming a Rate My Ride type episode. There isn't a slot coming up in a couple of weeks. So all you have to do is email btg@seenthroughglass.com with, yes, I guess your make and your model and maybe a slight explanation as to why you think we should be driving your car. But today we are here to talk about the SF90 Stradale. Mm. I think there's a lot to talk about. Well, do we?
Well, I mean, I do.
Do you?
I do.
I think I do too.
Well, hold on a minute.
Mm.
Can we talk about the price first?
Well, yes, I guess that's a good place to start.
Yeah, because that's why I think I like it even more than what I should. When you consider what this car actually is, it's basically a hypercar, mate. Let's not beat around the bush. It is a hypercar. Now, you'd think this would have been upwards of £500,000, this car.
Mm-hmm.
So performance for a hypercar, that's incredible. Like, for £500,000, you get hypercar performance. But on the used market, they're £350,000.
Well, that is actually the really crazy point, and that's why I thought this would be a great way to kickstart this series, is because, well, it's suddenly a bargain hypercar. I mean, I know it's ridiculous to say 300 odd grand is a bargain, but when you consider the performance, what this represents for Ferrari, what Ferrari are doing right now, the fact that you can get in one of these cars for well under £500,000, well under list price, is quite insane. So let's power this thing up. We'll start driving. I will drive for the first half of the episode, then we will switch around and Tony will drive for the second half.
Now you're going to power it up.
Well, there we go.
Hybrid or?
Yes. So
what are you going to do?
This is the most interesting thing, which I really want to get into. Because of this new generation Ferrari moving everything to the steering wheel, my start-stop button is like a haptic glowing light on the steering wheel, which says engine start-stop. What is going to happen, Tony, when that steering wheel breaks? Because it will.
Well, what? You don't know that, mate. It might not break.
It will 100% break at some point. How else can you start or turn the ignition on of this car?
Well, you can't just ring Ferrari up. Luckily, Ferrari warrant their vehicles for up to 15 years. All right, you've got to pay after year four.
Are they paying you?
No. No, I'm just telling. I'm just saying this is the parameters of the brand.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
I'm going to say good things. I'm going to say bad things. I'm going to be honest.
Fair.
So you can warrant a Ferrari up to the age of 15 years old. So I'd advise you that once year four runs out, make sure you buy a Ferrari warranty.
Well, for today, this haptic button is working. So I just tap it once with my thumb. The ignition turns on. Car fires into life and does some beeps and some things like that. Various noises start. And then to actually power on, foot on the brake.
Would you like to tell the ladies and gentlemen what you said the first time you got in it?
When I got in this morning and it was only the ignition on, obviously when you start the ignition in the car, you get a check engine light, don't you? Because the engine's not on. And I was like, oh no, it's already got a check engine light. I was like, oh, it's not actually on. Yeah. I had a panic because these cars do, or have been known.
They've been known.
For having issues. And I thought, oh no, what disaster. But anyway, all is seemingly fine. And believe it or not, you might not be able to hear it, listeners. You might not have noticed it, viewers. The car is on.
We're on.
We're on.
And we know it's on because although it's in P, it says in green writing, ready.
You're right. On the dash, it says ready. But at the moment, we're in the hybrid setting for the powertrain deployment, or would you call it deployment?
Mate, don't turn this up today, will you? Because it's wet and cold and it's on
7 degrees Celsius.
It's on cup twos.
Do you know that for a fact?
I know that for a fact. It's standard.
Well, no, but he might have put it on winters. The owner might have put it on winters.
Well, I mean,
we should have looked, shouldn't we? Okay. Well, everything is telling me that the car is cold. I've got a graphic showing the sort of, well, what do you call that? Like an X-ray version of the car. The engine is in blue for cold. The tyres are in blue for cold. But it is telling me that we're ready to go. So I'm going to pull this absolutely massive shift lever behind the steering wheel.
Lever?
Yeah.
Lever.
I know, but I say lever.
What? You
pull the lever, crank! It's a, anyway.
It's your shooting dice. Yeah. On the farm.
No. So, it's now in D.
Yeah.
It's now in D, and there's a little hum.
So that's because you've got E beside it, sir.
That's because I'm in, E mode, which is only theoretically good for about 50 miles on full charge. We've got 10 mile range of pure E driving. But what will happen is once we get on it, the engine will kick into life. So look, We're moving, Tony.
We are moving.
We are moving through the petrol station silently.
Would you like to go through with the ladies and gentlemen the four or five modes that are actually on the car?
We'll do that once we leave said petrol station, because I'm a little bit lost right now and I want to concentrate. Hold on a sec.
This is
the hard part of reviewing a car via podcast as a one take. A lot of things going through the brain at any one point, especially when you're driving somebody else's car. That is, well, we actually don't know the value of this particular car because it's an Assetto Fiorano. It would have probably been well over £500,000 list.
It would have absolutely have been that.
So what are these cars on the used market now, the Assetto Fiorano cars? Are they still clear of 400?
I would say they're about 400 for a low mileage Assetto car.
Sure.
Now, last week you mentioned that you think that these cars will eventually go up. I think that is definitely not going to happen, because quite a lot of people have got these cars for the aforementioned SFS. What's that?
You're doing so well there. You sounded so professional. The SF90XX.
Right.
The first ever road-going XX car. So, yeah, these were bought as a kind of, well, a notch on the bedpost to get you an allocation for the XX.
Well, and that's going to be the problem with these, because when that comes, they're all going to go back on the market, because these become fairly exclusive when customers realise that, to either own one or buy them back or take the ones that were advertised on SOR.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't really, last year, there was really not many of them around. And I haven't looked recently to see how many there are around now, but I don't think there's that many. But there will be, which means that will drive the prices back down.
Okay.
Ah, means look, a bargain.
Let's come back to the grand overview of the SF90 and what it means for Ferraris and collectors, etc. Let's just get into talking about what this car is like, because we've now driven it half a mile away from the petrol station.
Yep.
In pure electric mode. Can I just get the elephant in the room out the way?
Yeah.
I am really, like, not getting any of the usual Ferrari fizz like this. Actually, in fact, even since we collected this car, it's an amazing bit of kit, this thing. It's, well, you know, it's a £500,000 car, etc., etc. But I'm just a bit like, I don't know.
But when was the last time you got into a Ferrari, a modern Ferrari, and got that fizz?
296.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, I didn't get it with the 296.
Oh, I love the 296.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like it as well. And this, but I think the 296 and this are very similar in terms of fizz, mate. It's all about opinions, obviously.
Hold on a sec, I've royally messed this up, Tony. I'm in the wrong lane. We're about to go on the M1.
Oh.
Hold on a sec. Well, there's a BMW 220i on the exact same thing, so let's join him.
We'll get let in.
We'll
mate.
Try to cut in. Well, will we? This is the big test. When you're in a £500,000 Ferrari, do people let you in? No, the van driver doesn't. The One Series does.
He
just
didn't want to.
Just. Oh, God. That was scary. Yeah. Where are we going? I'm trying to follow Google Maps. I haven't linked to the CarPlay, which this car does have, but for some reason I've selected not to use. Oh, well, you know, it's a one take, so we're rolling with it. But yeah, I think for me, the discord or the bit that doesn't make sense is this e-driving mode, because let's now get into the driving modes like you mentioned. I'm going to switch up. There we go. And switch the engine on. So we're now into performance mode, and suddenly, immediately, my heart's just started to race a little bit faster.
Just because it's got an engine?
Yeah. So just Ferrari. I suddenly am like, oh yes.
I'm in a Ferrari now.
It all feels a lot more real, a lot more special. I'm a lot more intimidated suddenly.
Well, I'm intimidated full stop, mate. I mean, I'm absolutely flapping in here because I know how fast these cars are and I see the road surface and it's not dry.
It is not the right day to be driving this car, but, well, we're still going to try and enjoy ourselves. But, yeah, that's the crazy thing about, as we move forward into this new era, hybrid supercars, well, this is a hybrid hypercar, the E-modes, you do just lose the identity of the supercar. Like, now the engines are like, yes, I'm in a Ferrari, Tony!
Yeah.
It's weird that. It's such an immediate change in my emotions and my bond with the car.
Well, you know, from the passenger seat, immediately, obviously, not just the noise of the engine, but from the passenger seat, immediately, it turned in from, like, a nice, cruising, quiet, could have been in anything, So the suspension completely changed.
By the way, it's so firm. It's so firm. But this obviously has the fixed dampers, this car.
Yeah.
It's so firm. This road doesn't look bumpy, but I am feeling every single bump and crack and it's quite intense, but I quite like that. I'm going to go into manual gears because let's face it.
So you should.
Yeah, we're not here to mess around. So
we've got a lot of gears in this car.
We've got a lot of gears. I just kept coming down. But
mate, don't go too fast.
Well, I'm not going too fast. I'm going to go a little fast.
I'm going to be in them trees.
Oh, suddenly I'm really excited again. So yeah. How weird is this?
I can tell you're excited.
This is between two driving modes. I'm suddenly like, now we've got a thing to enjoy.
But is that not modern cars, mate? Is that literally not modern cars?
The breadth of their ability.
Exactly.
Means that they can do so much. But I just think I struggle when you get into these supercars.
Yeah.
The E-mode, whilst I'm sure would be absolutely spectacular, leaving early morning, you don't want to disturb your neighbours and stuff, you're cruising through the city.
Yeah.
But it does remove some of the specialness.
Yeah, but you feel special now.
I feel really special now, I have to say. Now, we fell in love with these cars during the Mille Miglia when they just kept flying past us when we were in the 360 Modena. We thought, God, they just look absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
Then I feel like we sort of went a bit cold on them, but then you took one, didn't you, for a weekend, for like a long test drive.
I took one for a weekend long test drive in this country, in the UK, and for viewers that don't follow us in the UK, the roads aren't fantastic like most of Europe and other parts of the world that we've driven on. But I still got a feel for the car and I still understood it within the UK speed limits. But when I really, really realised how good this car was last year when I spent some time abroad in one.
Ah, okay, of course, because you did your big trip.
Yeah.
You took, there were two cars with you on that
trip? There were two. There was a Spider and a Coupe. And I drove them half a day each. So I spent plenty of time with them. I've probably done 400 miles, probably.
Okay.
And that they were mega, mate. The Coupe, as we know, Ferrari convertibles and coupes, there is a difference between the rigidity of the ride and the car being a coupe and not a convertible.
You feel a bit of flex in the body, basically.
In the convertible, for sure, yeah. Whereas the coupe felt way more planted, and especially in like faster corners, you know. So I much preferred the coupe. And the convertible had some problems as well. It wouldn't give me power. The battery kept overheating.
But that's the thing, right? It's because they're so complicated, these cars.
Yeah.
I think when they came out, most reviewers were like, oh my God, where do we even start with talking to the information? Because it's three electric motors, then the twin turbo V8, and a whole lot of electronics trying to just help you along the way.
Yeah.
You've got a motor on each of the front wheels.
Yeah.
So I think the impressions were, see, this is the only thing, sorry, I'm just going to interrupt that line of thought, because what a speed bump, and as Tony hinted at earlier, no lift on the Assetto Fiorano cars.
No.
I don't think it's that low.
Well, but on the non-Assetto Fiorano cars.
You hate that, don't
you? I hate that. Assetto Fiorano.
Well done, sir.
You barely use the lift, and actually, in most Ferraris that I've owned, they've all had lift, but I didn't use it that often.
They ride quite high, sort of standard, yeah.
But this, with the kit on it, actually seems to ride a lot lower.
Well, it just feels lower, and I'm just very aware, as we say, that it's not our car, it's not a press car. Trying to be very careful. This route, by the way, was planned about an hour ago, so we have no idea what we're doing.
It's all right, mate.
But it's fine. This is very much a real-world example. There were some joggers on the zebra crossing. I waited for them. They did not cross.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just living our life. See, I should, at this point, come back into hybrid mode, shouldn't I? Because we're going through town. Just be nice and polite to everyone and just, you know, silently cruise.
Yeah.
But
just have a nice time.
See, but immediately, my whole emotive connection with this car has just died.
It could be in the i5.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
That's it. I drove here today in the BMW i5, and I feel like I'm back in that.
Yeah.
It just feels a tad gimmicky. And that's probably my problem, not the car's problem. because it's very clever that it can do all this, and obviously in performance mode it's recharging the battery, and obviously all the battery and the electric powers and the electric motors giving us instant torque, all of that is good. Like, yeah. It has to be seen as good.
Yeah.
And maybe if I owned one of these cars, I would love the dual-sided nature. But out here today, we've got basically an hour or so with the car. I want it to be fire-breathing Ferrari. This is a 1,000-horsepower Ferrari, Tony.
Yeah.
It should be like, ah! The whole time, I think.
Yeah. But do you think that it's too complicated, this car?
The phone is not available.
Oh, sorry.
Is that normal? Was that you?
A man just started talking to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A man in the car. So, sorry, the phone is not available.
Yeah. Do you think it's too complicated or what?
No, not like this. Of course, there are 1,000 drive modes for us to cycle through and figure out and work out how to get the maximum out of the car. But that's like any modern car, yeah. You know. I don't think it's too complicated. The question would be, is it too electronic once you really get into it? So out here today, super greasy roads, cold temperatures, I don't know what I'm doing.
The car
is really holding my hand and making me look better than I probably am. And we're cruising.
Yeah.
The thing is, you especially, but maybe me, once we've really got into it, would we feel like it's interfering too much? Or because brake by wire. So this is what I'm going to be most fascinated by you. You're someone who is obsessed with brake feel, applications, things like that. This is an electronic brake pedal, essentially.
Correct.
Electronic steering. You know, most of this stuff is fake.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can necessarily pick up on that right now.
Yeah.
The brakes are grabby, as we've discovered.
They are, yeah. I've nearly been through the screen.
Yeah, sorry, I'm literally missing Tony into the windscreen. But, you know, like, it just... Oh, I don't know. This is starting to get me excited now. Sorry.
The problem is, what's going to happen in a minute? We're not going any faster. We're both going to stop talking.
Yes. we've got to find concentration there. So if I stop talking, Tony, that's where you take
it. Come on, keep coming in, because that's where you're flapping.
Okay, so the ride in this Assetto Fiorano car is noticeably... Would you call it... I wouldn't call it firm. I would call it brittle. Yeah. It's not back-breaking, right? Like, I'm not uncomfortable, but you sort of miss the bumpy road mode button that you get in a lot of modern Ferraris.
Well, I tell you what, it's been 6 months, but there is a noticeable difference in ride quality in this car than the non-Fiorano car.
It feels skittish.
For sure. And we're not going to be able to find out today, unfortunately, because the roads are too wet and it's way too fast, this car. But when we was in Europe, when the tyres were hot and everything was hot, beautiful roads, every time you really planted your foot when I was abroad, the car squatted down
okay.
and really buried itself into the tarmac. It's not going to do that today. It'll bury itself into a tree if you go anywhere.
Okay, so let's come back to what you just said. Too fast. So this is a 1,000 horsepower Ferrari that has driving modes that we find a little bit boring and unemotive, i.e. the E mode. The Italian man's going to talk to me again. What am I pushing here?
It's this button there that you keep. It's this stupid haptics.
Let's just get that out of the way. Sorry, but we'll come back to what you just said.
Okay.
I hate the steering wheel, mate. What are Ferrari doing
it's
with this steering wheel?
Ferrari,
no,
mate.
It's a disaster. I'm sorry. I know everyone's going touch screen and all stuff, but this steering wheel is a mess. That sometimes the buttons are on, sometimes they're off. See, look. He's
cancel.
Talking to me again.
Cancel, tell him.
Cancel. Go away. Ciao.
Pressing the cruise control button.
Literally. Because I've got fat hands. Yeah. I'm going for the indicator, and my little chubby thumb is leaning across into the voice-activated things. And look,
it's on the left-hand side.
It won't go away.
It's on the other side, that's why.
Okay, on set. Let's just get rid of him. Piss off.
Can you do that?
Cancel. Cancel. There we go. Done.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now.
Don't touch that side of the steering wheel.
No, I'll try not to.
He's on the left-hand side. mate, it's so fast.
So that's what I want to get back into.
It's not even like, that was quite quarter throttle.
Too fast. So we say this a lot about cars, right? You know, too fast, and you know, you can't get anything out of them until you're really like pushing on, at which point you're breaking every single speed limit.
Yeah.
I would just tell you, leaving that junction right there, I probably used 30% throttle. Yeah. I went up to third gear. I had the time of my freaking life.
Yeah.
My heart was racing.
Yeah.
I felt like a little bit of a, little bit of a loose traction. Like, I can still personally get enjoyment out of this. We're getting quite a lot of traction light going on here. So too fast, is it dependent on the occasion? Because when it's this miserable outside, when you've got this little traction, when the weather's this crap,
yeah,
is it quite exciting to have this much power?
Well, I mean, you don't need to go fast to be excited. I mean, we're literally doing the speed limit. We're on what would you say? This is a B road?
It's a B road.
It's a B road. Which, yeah.
For international viewers, it's a back road.
It's a back road, okay. Yeah. So, speed limit 40, 50 mile an hour, which is what we're doing. But we're like excitable children.
But yeah, this is what I mean. Is that we are also the worst at this for knocking cars for being too fast. Oh, it's too much power.
But they're all too fast.
Mate, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
Like honestly, this I so I'm all over the place, Tony.
I don't know what to do here.
Because I've sort of slightly been like SF90, SMF90. Like, you know, I'm like, it's kind of not necessarily ticked all of my boxes.
Right.
I drove one in Australia, the Lee Collection, stunning car, for the day, mainly in traffic, and to be fair, mainly on the highway. So maybe that was where the problem would lay. I can't remember if that car was an Assetto Fiorano car or not, but being out here in my home country on twisty, narrow, gross roads, suddenly this thing feels way more lively and exciting. Like, I'm really into it.
Yeah. No, mate, it's a proper bit of kit, this car. I know some people like slag it off a bit because it's electronic, and the real reviewers say it's understeery because the front motors push it on and you have to drive it differently to a normal V8 mid-engine Ferrari, and they're right. But there's a way to drive this car, and if you get it right, it is unbelievably rewarding. We're not going to be able to do that today because of the conditions of the road, and we're in the UK, but we're going to experience enough of it to understand how good it is, because it's bloody good, this car.
Well,
mate,
let's see. There's a national speed limit sign, and you really have to hold on, Tony.
For audio viewers, I now have my head in my hands.
For audio viewers, Tony has pooped himself.
I've soiled myself.
I also, my cheeks have been shaking so much because of the bumps.
Yeah.
They feel a bit tired. Like you know what?
You need to lose some weight, mate.
True that. But the firmness of the ride is actually helping me make this car feel a bit more special.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it, Tony.
Yes.
I like it. I've really come round. So, look, let's find someone to pull over. Sorry, one last acceleration. Let's swap places. I'll get you behind the wheel, and we can chat a bit more about what does this mean for the future of Ferrari? What does it mean that it's theoretically devalued or depreciated so much, etc., etc.? Oh, my God, I have pressed the talking man button again.
Yeah, you keep doing it, man.
I am fuming. Back with you in a second when Tony is behind the wheel.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tony has taken his seat behind the wheel and yep. The rain has got heavier.
No! No!
Genuinely, as it's your turn, the rain has definitely increased. What are you doing? You're playing around on the steering wheel.
I don't really know what I'm doing. Right, so I'm trying to work out the wipers.
There's a little auto setting. So there's a little tiny knurled dial.
Yeah.
Which actually is quite cool. I quite like that. It's almost like a Formula One steering wheel sort of switch, isn't it?
You could probably see what that. It's based on, mate, I'd say a Formula One type steering wheel. And they've always, don't forget, Ferrari have always had buttons everywhere on the steering wheel for many, many years now. 458 probably first time, was that right?
Well, that was the first with the indicators on the steering wheel,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, but most of the controls, you know, you've got the Manettino. Right, okay. The switch that controls the power...
the driving mode.
Yep. Is on the right-hand side. We'll turn it all off in a minute, just to scare Sam. No, we don't. Do that today. And everything's all in front of you now, which is all lovely in normal circumstances. But, as Sam said earlier, it's got this stupid steering wheel that...
It's all touchscreen. It would be annoying if the buttons or the things that they were using, if it was buttons, if you could feel it.
Yeah.
Because that's the problem, is you have to look. The whole point was, and I remember the briefings about this, we have studied the way the driver looks, and it, so that theoretically your eyes can always be on the road. They're not.
It's worse.
Because you're looking down at this stupid steering wheel, activating the touchscreen, deactivating the touchscreen, moving your thumb on the joystick. The thing is a mess. But it looks very nice. I'll give them that.
The problem is we're in such a fast car, the last thing you want to be doing is looking down at the steering wheel, or, by the way, looking left or right. On the right-hand side, you've got your wing mirrors and your lights and your cameras and your fog lights. And on the left-hand side, you've got all your heating and your climate control. Mm-hmm. And it's all touchscreen. Now, the last thing you want to do when you're doing national speed limit down a B road is start messing around with all these buttons. Now, you'd say, well, you should do it before you leave. And fair enough, I completely understand that. But, sometimes, as humans, we have certain circumstances where we might be a little bit cold, or we might be a little bit hot. So we want to have a little change-up.
I agree. And cool yourself down.
Try doing that at 60 or 70 mile an hour.
Yes, death. Because also, it's frantic, the steering on this car, in a good way.
Yeah.
But it means that it's a bit like a motorbike. If you look left, you turn left.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to be really careful. One thing, though, which I have to say, which I hadn't noticed, because this is the first time I spent some time in the passenger seat, really, apart from in Tim's car, is that I've got a sort of passenger display, I suppose,
over here,
which is smaller than what you would see in lots of other Ferraris, where it's kind of a whole strip across the dashboard. It's this little half screen just underneath the SF90 badge, and it's angled to me rather than towards Tony in the driver's seat.
Well, it's passenger.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it's no point angled to me. I've got it all here.
And I can do things like control the audio, look at the performance, control the navigation. So, on the Mille Miglia, actually quite good, because as a co-driver I can be a little bit more helpful and involved, can't I?
Yeah, all the time you've got a passenger. If you haven't got a passenger, mate, it's dangerous.
Other things that I'm noticing now that I'm in the passenger seat, so much carbon fibre in this interior.
Yeah.
So much carbon fibre.
Can we...
drive?
I'm going to go.
Please,
yeah, I'm gonna drive.
Please do. Okay.
Can we mention the fact that this car has got literally no luggage space?
Yes, okay, so So maybe this is where we start to get into the problems of, oh my God, why did I trust Tony behind the wheel?
Well, the problem is, mate, it's not very nice there, is it?
No, in the passenger seat.
It's not very
terrifying.
Nice.
Absolutely,
I mean, I
terrifying.
Feel completely comfortable now because I'm driving. Yes. I'm not even going that fast. I'm going quite slow.
I regret the decision to let you
but the
drive.
The problem is with these cars is that they're very skitty. The steering is, as you said, it's very direct, like all Ferraris.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to put it in a bush.
It's so very easy to put it in a bush.
You've got to be a little bit careful. The brakes are really, really grabby.
So grabby.
Barely touch the brakes. You just got to hover over the brakes and they instantly start to work. So,
it's exciting though, isn't it?
Mate, I literally feel, it's so weird because when I was sitting where you felt,
yeah.
I was quite frightened.
Yes, but as I am now.
These cars are so intimidating and I think people are intimidated by them before they drive them. Because of the headline figures of power, 1,000 horsepower, nearly 1,000 newton meters of torque. I mean, it's off the charts, mate.
Turning left.
Turning left. It's off. It's lucky because I don't really know what I'm doing.
No. But you say that, I think it. Oh my God, he's giving it large. Bloody hell, Tony. Remember, this is a viewer's ride.
I'm not going far, I'm going slowly. It's mad, isn't it? I'm doing what you're doing. I'm doing the 25% throttle.
Yeah, just to make it clear to people, he did 42 miles an hour was the top speed there. It felt like we were doing 306.
And it felt like I was about to go in a bush.
But in E mode, in the electric mode, it does feel unintimidating. That's the thing, is actually, you lose all of that when you're just pottering around, which makes sense. Like this car, it only goes up to like, I think, 80 miles an hour. It's not supposed to be driven in that E mode in any kind of exhilarating way. But the minute it turns on, suddenly it becomes a little bit scary again. I also question whether, you know, in this setup, in this more toit, poised, lighter Fiorano setup, that's aiding towards making it feel a little bit more intimidating.
But mate, I wouldn't drive this in. I would, if this was my car, I would never drive it in EV mode because you just
you'd just be in
any other car.
Maybe I'm getting too hung up on that.
What's the point? There's like literally no point. It does 10 miles. It's a bit of a gimmick. What it's actually good for, the EV mode, is obviously substituting the power, you know, compensating for the engine power and filling in the gaps.
Of course, of course. Instant of torque, instant responsiveness.
Instant everything, you know. So this is easily the fastest car I've ever driven. I mean, you cannot compute on a nice dry road with everything off. And by the way, when it's hot and the tyres are hot, you can turn everything off and it's fine, you know? Yeah. It's not like, oh my God, it's going to put you in a hedge. It's only because today, we're in the UK, the roads are greasy and horrible, it's 7 degrees, as we said, and you literally just can't get the power down. You can't get the power down in a 200 horsepower car today. We've got a little Abarth in front of us now, following a little Abarth. We like them.
We love those. That's a 695. It's beautiful.
If you put your foot down in that, you'd be all over the place in that. It's got 200 horsepower.
Well, he would get away from us on this road if he wanted to.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. My competitive head would come out.
You really would. We definitely would crash in that one. So on a hot, dry road, everything off. I mean, you mean fully ESC off.
Turn it off.
Because some of those initial reviews, especially on track, said that with everything off, the car was a little bit unpredictable because all the electronics were fighting each other and they were trying to work. You should have had to, as you say, drive the car differently, and it made it almost harder. Where in CT off, which is one position back on Ferrari's driving mode on the Manettino, where it's really helping you and aiding you, all those electronics are kind of assisting you. A lot of journalists said that that's actually the best way to get the maximum out of this car, but you enjoyed literally going fully off.
No, I went up the, as I drove it, I went up the
ladder.
Steps,
yeah.
You know, you got wet, sport, is it performance or race?
No, so yes, you've got the traditional driving modes, which is, as you say, I think you've got wet, sport, race, CT off, ESC off.
Yeah.
And then you have the hybrid performance qualify, I think, is maximum 1,000 horsepower deployment.
So but turn that's draining it up, the turn it off, basically.
Okay.
That's what you got to do. Turn it up, turn it off, get everything hot, then enjoy yourself. Because I think it's less intrusive when everything's off, personally.
Interesting.
Now, I think it gets its power down. down properly, because the race is a bit better because it'll give you a little bit of slip. But when everything's hot, mate, it's got a lot of grip, this car.
Sure.
Way more than like a Pista or something. It's got loads and loads of grip. And like I said, what I really took from the trip away was, okay, you have to take the corners differently, but once you get out the corners, it's got so much torque and power that the car just squats down. I remember trying to explain it to you when we was on the podcast. It was a bit Turbo S like, but yep, but turned up, and you remember them, they just squat down and it sods off. So it doesn't really break in traction, it's fine.
So if this car is so impressive and we've enjoyed driving it on this horrific day, yeah, not very far,
no,
why are they plummeting in value? Why do people overlook them? Why are they sort of knocked as a shoulda, woulda, coulda, but didn't deliver? What went wrong?
Well, firstly, I personally think marketing. I think this car was really badly marketed by Ferrari. When they released it, they said like, oh, first of all, they said it was going to be a really like a numbered or really short supply car. I believe they only ever really were ever going to make 1,500 of each car, but never really said that. Mm. They said it was going to be like a mass-produced car. Mm. So I think all the people went in and threw all their deposits down and then went, oh, actually, if it's not going to be a numbered car, like, what's the point? Like, I don't want to lose a load of money on it. And then people would have been right because they've had a toilet. But, mate, I literally cannot think, for the money today, really, of a much better car than this. If you want hypercar performance, and it's made us smile today.
Oh my God, really has.
And we've like got 5% of the performance. If you want a car that, and it, these modern cars, they are four cars in one, aren't they now?
Yeah.
As we've already said.
Yeah.
Try and think of anything better than one of these, mate.
Well, I mean, even if you look at the used Ferrari market, are these approaching Pista money?
They're not far off.
They're not far off, right?
A bit more.
50 or 75 grand in it?
I'd still have a Pista over this, though.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so talk me through. By the way, can I just say, for our audio listeners, we are officially on one of the worst, like, this is driving in the UK.
Yeah.
We're on a road that is barely wide enough for two lanes.
Yeah.
There's water, mud, leaves, there are branches sticking out.
Lorries.
There are lorries.
Yeah.
The road surface is awful.
Traffic lights.
It's an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
So if either of us shriek at any point, that's why. Why would you have a Pista over this?
For me, it's just more Ferrari than this. The Pista of, I remember saying this before, the Pista is the best of where Ferrari was,
mm-hmm,
and this is where Ferrari were going.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at this car, here we go, look.
You've pushed the talking man.
Yeah. No, I said Ferrari.
So
when you say Ferrari, he comes up.
That's what it is. So it wasn't my fat thumb. Thank God. I was going to race to the gym afterwards. But look, okay, hold on a second, because we're now peeling back the layers and getting into, I think, the real topic here, the nitty gritty here, because my prior experiences with these cars, so from the passenger seat of Schmies, sorry, go away, Mr. Man, the passenger seat of Schmies, and then driving the Lee Collections cars, I left feeling a bit like, you know, like, it didn't give me the Ferrari fizz. I didn't get overly excited. I was just a bit like, yeah, I guess. And it's only been today in this experience, and I can probably tell you it's because the weather's so crap, we're out here just trying to control this thing, that's heightening it. But actually, is this the new era of Ferrari? And do we relate to it as much? Like, is this too different for us, for you and me?
Well, I think this, more than you than me, I think this weather has done us a favour today.
Yes,
because I think if this was a dry, sunny day, you would never ever get the fizz or the real pleasure of this car until your 10th temps, which at that point you're going way over the speed limit and it's way too fast. Whereas something like a Pista or a Speciale, you get that fizz at 30 mile an hour, you see. this car is literally all about mind-boggling performance. And I know the others are, they're supercars, they all are. But this is like another level in performance.
Yeah.
And it's so mundane and like lethargic, normal at this speed. Like you could literally be in anything.
Yeah, right now, you've got up the gears, we're still in sport, we're still in performance. This could be a McLaren 650S, this could be a Huracan, this could be a 488. Like, you know, there's nothing particularly about this.
No.
It's only when you start to get into the throttle a little bit more, start to turn the steering, that you go, okay, hold on a second, it feels a bit special. But yeah, and that's where I'm starting to question it, is that over and above the production numbers, the value, did people get in them and go, oh, like, what actually is this? Is it a GT car? Is it this new hybrid era? Like, do I understand it? We know that these cars have been plagued with issues.
It's so very misunderstood, this car.
Misunderstood for sure, but also, like, therefore, if you don't understand it, if for good and bad, is what I'm going to say. It's misunderstood in the sense that people overlook it, but then also people get into it thinking it's going to be a certain thing, and it's not.
Yeah.
You hear 1,000 horsepower, you look at the car, you see all the details of it, and then you get it. Actually, unless it's an Assetto Fiorano car on a cold, wet UK day, spin around, why not? It's a bit like, you know, and that was my overall takeaway, especially, you know, Tim's car is essentially a GT car. He's used it in that sense, which makes no sense because it's got no boot. Yep. It's literally the least practical Ferrari out there. But he's used it for big miles.
Yeah.
And that's because it's super comfortable. He's got the comfy seats in it. It's lovely spec.
Yep.
This thing, a lot more honed in. But I don't know, it depresses me that one of the greatest technological Ferraris ever, really, it's the fastest, most powerful Ferrari ever made, one of the most complex, is plummeting in value to the point where, you know, other cars are worth tons more. Ferrari, for me, should always be the halo product, right? It should be the one that we all lust after. It's, you know, ask a child to draw a car, they'll draw a red sports car, i.e. a Ferrari.
Yeah.
But this is one of their flagship cars, and halo cars, seemingly no one wants it.
Yeah.
That worries me, because we're seeing the same with the 296. We spoke about it last week on the podcast.
Yeah.
We're seeing the same with the Romas. We're seeing, well, what else are we seeing across? I mean, 812s are still done well. The big front engine V12s are still done well. But is there this big shift in Ferrari, which is obviously they've got to adopt this new era, which is changing actually what they represent and mean to purists or petrol heads? Or like, what Ferrari would you go out and buy today? New.
I wouldn't.
There's not one in the lineup that you'd go and order new.
No, not today.
So that's worrying, isn't it?
And well, yeah, being that I've had loads of them. But secondly as well, mate, as you're talking, I'm thinking in my head now that Ferrari, that special SF90's come out.
Yeah.
Obviously
you've activated
it's the... It's so annoying.
I mean, I guess if you owned this car, you wouldn't spend your life saying Ferrari.
No.
I'm in my Ferrari. Hello, how can I help you?
It's not built for reviewers.
But obviously, we've said it about 50 million times today, so it keeps turning on.
It keeps turning on.
Well, does it make this car pointless or the one to have or the bargain? My thing is the standard car the wrong car? Is that the misconception? If you go and buy a standard SF90 Stradale, get in and go, oh, hold on a second, it's all a bit soft, it's all a bit approachable, it's not exciting in any way. Like, you know, this is a 1,000 horsepower flagship Ferrari, and what does it do for me? But this, I think I've found more intriguing, and it's now going to be the half price XX.
I see it the other way around.
Okay.
If I'm honest, I see it that this has less purpose than the standard one.
Sure.
I think the standard one stays where it is.
Yeah.
Personally, I think this one, it might be a bit of a bargain if you're comparing it to the XX thing, or if you can't get one. But don't forget, quite a lot of these cars will be going in part exchange for the XX.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look on the market, like, I think the standard one for most people is the one to have.
It's the one to have.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you might. I mean, it's such a weird one. I'm definitely changing my rhetoric around this car now. I think prior to today. I was a bit like, I thought I knew what we were getting into. I thought I knew what we were going to talk about. I've actually really enjoyed the experience. And I kind of want to have the experience that you had now of driving one of these flat out in Europe, like on a proper road, to really understand
it. It's another level, mate.
For me, I would want that experience to be in a Assetto Fiorano car, just because it's going to be a short-lived experience. But you're probably right, to own maybe the standard cars is the way to look. But yeah, I don't know. It still makes me concerned, let's say, about the future of the Ferrari in terms of the brand that I love, because I'm sort of the same. I think if I won the lottery, I would go and buy a lot of Ferraris. I'm not sure if any of them would be new.
No. Maybe you wouldn't buy one of these as a bit of value.
I don't know.
This is bloody good value, mate.
But at 350 odd grand, there's quite a handful of other Ferraris I'd be buying first. And if I wanted one to just, like, I'd get an 812 GTS, maybe. I don't think you can't still order those, can you?
No, you can't, no.
Probably can't order one of these either, but yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
no, you can't.
I do really like this. I would have this over a 296, I would.
Yeah.
I'd have this over a 296, because why not? And I would have this over a Roma, definitely. So yeah, this is probably the pick of the bunch for me in terms of new lineup, but still it's not quite the same, is it?
No, but and as well, don't forget, as we're in the cabin and we're looking, this is a lovely place to be,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah,
when you look at piece the back, you know, like you're in a looked like a 10 or 15 year old car. You know, they were really tired towards the end, you know. But this is really, really up to date. Yeah, and some of it's annoying, but it's a really lovely place to be. And because this is the Assetto Fiorano car, it's got carbon for days, and it's got beautiful seats. The seats are comfortable, by the way.
Seats are very good. So these are, I don't think these are the most issue. I think this is the mid-level of extremity, I think there's one more, let me go. But they are thin, lightweight carbon buckets.
Yeah.
And they're pretty easy to get in and out of, and very comfortable once you're in them. And I think we could do quite a few miles in one of these
cars.
I think it suits us, this car.
Yeah,
I think it suits us. I feel like we'll look cool in it.
You can easily do a trip in this car.
I think we could easily do it, apart from the fact you haven't got any luggage space.
You forgot about that.
Well, we have to be incredibly grateful, as we are, to our wonderful listener, Mr. Always Turn Left. Go check him out on Instagram. A pretty outrageous way to kickstart this new version of Rate My Ride.
Yeah.
Actually, whilst we're here, I can probably find out the date of the next Rate My Ride filming slot.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, hold on a sec.
Let's get it in.
The 20th of March.
Right.
The 20th of March. So we are looking for most like UK cars. You need to be able to get your car to the southeast of the UK, or we can come and meet you at least somewhere southeast. So if you're based in Scotland, you'll need to be able to get your car down to us.
Yeah.
And we're looking for everything. We're open to anything.
Anything.
I mean, we've kickstarted with the bloody SF90.
Yeah.
We'd love
it to. Can only be down from here.
Oh, mate, I'd love to be like an R32 Golf Mark IV.
Yeah.
Like, that would be outrageous. Go, what would you love to get in?
Like something really retro, like a Sierra Cosworth or something like that.
Nice. I've never experienced one of those. So I'd be very intrigued.
It's like a diesel, they are.
Is it?
It's nothing, nothing, nothing. Power.
I love
nothing.
That. I love that. I want to get in something which I'm determined to make you change your mind about, like a Project 8 Jaguar.
Yeah, but that'll be a good car. Okay, let's save it.
Okay, we'll see.
About to go in on you.
So, as I say, get in touch, btg@seenthroughglass.com for future episodes. I hope you've enjoyed this one. Turn left here, mate.
Turn left.
Turn left. We will make our way back to, strangely, drop this at the Schmuseum. Unfortunately, Tim Schmee is not in town at the moment, hence why he's not appearing on this podcast. It would have been good, actually, to get his thoughts. He must have done a heck of a load of miles in an SF90 by now.
Oh, how would we get him in here?
Well, we wouldn't be able to get him in here, but we could have done a piece back at the Schmuseum.
Oh, I see.
Stood around in the car, but not possible today, but that's all right. We'll get him back on at some point. But yeah, let us know your thoughts on this new format, this new style. You definitely enjoyed it when we did the Maserati episode last year. There's a G-Wagon in front of us, absolutely launching it. So let us know your thoughts. We have had a great time.
Loved it.
So if you want to follow Tony between now and next week's episode, he's at Tony Global Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seeing Through Glass. This podcast is at Behind the Glass _ podcast. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.